Let's open our Bibles into the Gospel according to Mark. Chapter 15. I'm going to read only verses 33 and
34.
Because the context, we've already got it from our brother. The Bible says, "Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Let's pray. O God, our Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we come before your holy presence again. After worshipping you in other ways, we want to worship you in hearing from you and learning from you. Lord, we pray that you use me as a vessel to share to us your word, which is food for our souls. Come, Lord, and let us and teach us what you want us to understand from this scripture. Let me forget whatever is mine, whatever is not yours. Let me forget it. And let me remember only that what you want your people to know about you. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Yeah, today we are going to discuss about the greatest agony. This is Sunday. Or the first day of the week. In most pulpits in the world, preachers are preaching about the resurrection. Yeah, because he's risen already. But what I'd like you to know is that Jesus Christ never rose again early this morning. He rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. We only celebrate Easter season just to remember, to remind ourselves of what he went through. Yeah, like the Spirit of Christ put this message into my heart, that we first ponder upon these words. You know very well that Jesus Christ played the role of the sacrificial lamb. Who used to be slaughtered for the sins of someone to be taken from him. And he came once and for all, was slaughtered for us. And we are going to concentrate on one phrase in this passage. Verse 33. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. We begin from there. The sixth hour. That's our midday. Jesus Christ was put on the cross the third hour of the Jewish people. Yeah, which is 9 a.m. here. And he was there. And the Bible is telling us that when the sixth hour had come, he had been on the cross 3 hours. A miraculous darkness came over the land. Try to imagine midday, noon. And darkness abruptly falls upon the land. Anyone can fear. Theologians have been debating on what happened. Bible. And some say that it was an eclipse of the sun. Others say, no, it was not an eclipse, it was just a miracle, it was a miracle, just darkness came at noon. Although we have scientific proof that in Palestine, around that time of the crucifixion, there was an eclipse of the sun. But whether it was an eclipse of the sun or not, the coming of darkness at noon came to teach something, as we are going to learn this morning. The sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. The ninth hour is 3 p.m. That means that Palestine was in total darkness for 3 hours. Yes, the creator of everything was dying, was suffering. And all creation had to sympathize with their creator's suffering. Yes, the moon had to react. The sun had to react. Their creator was suffering. We need to know that our Lord made 7 statements on the cross. Yes, there were 7. 3 of them before the darkness came. Remember, he was on the cross for 6 hours. And he said 3 statements before darkness came, which are, number 1, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The second one was, today you shall be with me in paradise. And the third one was, woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother. These are the 3 statements that he said when he was hanging on the cross before darkness came. When darkness came, there was silence on the cross. I mean, after saying those 3 words, statements, when light was still there, then darkness came. And when darkness came, there was total silence on the cross. People were full of fear. Jesus uttered no word there. He was silent. Why? Because that's the time he was made sin for us. That's when he was going through his greatest agony. He uttered no word. Darkness is the sign of God's judgment. According to Isaiah chapter 5 verse 30. It's a sign of God's judgment. God's judgment had come upon Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was carrying all our sins. And yet, God's eyes don't look at sin. And that's why we sing. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. And I like these words down here. How great the pain of seeing loss. Yet the Father turns his face away. How great the pain. The Father turns his face away. We'll come to that. Then, as you remember, darkness took 3 hours. That's a lot of time. But towards the end of the darkness, he uttered these words. In darkness, towards the end of darkness, that's when Jesus cried out with a loud voice. And the loud voice means the loud voice. Saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Meaning, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's when Jesus was forsook by God. He was all alone for the very first time. And he had to utter those words. In total darkness. Darkness is a symbol of sin. If you live in sin, you live in total darkness, even right now. You might think it's daytime, but you are in total darkness. Darkness fell upon the land. Here again, theologians debate, some say it was all over the world. Others say no, it was only in Palestine, the land of Palestine. But it happened. Whether all over the world, whether in the land of Palestine, it happened. It was a terrible time for Jesus Christ. Remember, the ninth plague in Egypt, in Egypt, was a 3-day darkness. They came from the first plague, second up to the eighth. But the ninth darkness fell upon Egypt for 3 days. And guess what followed the darkness? What followed was the last plague, which was the death of the firstborn. And when the firstborn died, we saw the release of the Israelites. The darkness at Calvary was an announcement. Was an announcement that God's firstborn and beloved Son, the Lamb of God, was giving His life for the sins of the world. But it was also an announcement that the judgment of God was coming and men had to be prepared for that. And at the ninth hour, just before the end of the three full hours of silence, Jesus expressed the agony of His soul when He cried out from the cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And these words are the source of this sermon. The backbone of this sermon. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And after the darkness, He uttered three more statements. The fifth was, "I thirst." Yes, the fifth. Because He had said three before darkness, one during darkness, towards the end of darkness, and then the fifth. "I thirst." Yes. And the sixth, "It is finished." And the seventh, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he died. I've already explained the whole land. Some say this, others say that. But I agree with Pastor John MacArthur when he says that the geographical extent of the darkness is not known. Although the writings of the church fathers hint that it extended beyond Palestine. But it's not very clear. Verse 34. "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" Once again, Jesus Christ was misquoted, misinterpreted. These words were in Aramaic language. And Jesus had quoted Psalm 22 verse 1 that we read this morning. 22 verse 1. "The wrath of God was poured on Jesus as a substitute for sinners." The Father had put His face away because He can't look at sin. Jesus was carrying our sins. He never sinned Himself, but He was made sin. We are not made sin, we are sinners. Jesus Christ never sinned, but He was made sin. He carried our sins. And that brought separation between Him and the Father. And Jesus felt the weight of God's separation from Him. Agony simply means very severe, very strong pain. It can be physical pain or mental pain. But the strongest one is strong pain. If you want to understand what Christ went through because of you and me, let's begin with the physical agony Jesus went through. And let us study the medical explanation of the physical agony of Christ. Dr. Jean Rood says this. He's a doctor, a Christian doctor. And he says, while dying on the cross could last for days, it usually took a few hours, depending on the severity of the scourging and whether the process was hardened by the breaking of the legs. And Jesus' crucifixion began about noon, and was over by 3 p.m. I can correct the doctor here. It began at 3 hours. To better understand the agony and dynamics of the crucifixion, you have to understand how the weight of the body was suspended and how that affected breathing. Remember, they nailed him like this. The nails were put on the wrist here. Not what you see on the pictures, that the holes here. It was here. And the feet were put together and nailed together. So it was the two wrists plus the nails and the feet there, supporting the whole weight of the body. Crucifixion victims would begin with their weight hanging from fully extended arms. In this hanging position, the chest was fully expanded. Yeah, it could expand too much, making it impossible to breathe out. Soon, carbon dioxide would build up in the bloodstream. Yeah, even when I was preparing this, I knew that you would be stuck here. Because even me, I don't know, no one knows that in Uganda. Okay, put it just like that. Those who did chemistry, they know carbon dioxide would build up in the bloodstream. Causing muscle cramps throughout the body. In addition, there would be an overwhelming urge to breathe. They wanted to breathe, but they could not. In order to fully breathe out and take a deep breath, the victim would have to move his body up the cross by primarily pushing up with his legs. If they don't do that, they cannot breathe. They have to make sure they try to push themselves upwards through their legs and wrists. In this elevation position, breathing would be easier. But fatigue would soon set in so that the arms and legs could no longer hold up the body. The body would fall back to a hanging position. There are torturous consequences for the body that moves up and down. There's too much pain for the body that keeps going up and down so that you can breathe. As the body elevates, the arms must flex and rotate. This means the wrists would rotate on the square nails piercing them. The pain would be intense, too much. Perhaps more painful would be the trauma to the back. Remember, already laid upon the scourging, they had already scourged him too much on the back. The back was already full of wounds. The back would have to rub against the wooden beam. Whenever he's trying to bring himself up to breathe, so the back would just always be rubbing against the wood. Adding more trauma, pain, and bleeding. The intended manner of death on the cross big punishment or capital punishment. Why? They wanted people hung on the cross to die with asphyxia, what they call asphyxia. Okay, asphyxia, this is a medical term that means inadequate respiration. With the legs broken, the victims could no longer push themselves up and down in order to take an adequate breath. The result would be a quick death due to oxygen deprivation. Understanding all these truths will give us a new perspective the new time you sing the hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. It was too much pain. You just can't imagine that. However, all this is nothing compared to the spiritual agony that Jesus went through. Yesterday, as we were showing the film here, the way they could beat him with various types of canes, some metallic, some could even enter the flesh and come out with the flesh. I could see people, those who are passing by, just watching with their two hands here. And when they beat him, to see someone doing this, it was too much. This evening we'll continue with that movie. But I've told you that all that together was nothing. Was nothing to Jesus. Reason why he never complained about
about this. He never complained about his too much pain. Too much physical suffering. Never complained about all his best friends who forsook him before. Peter, you are going to leave me alone. Lord, these others, not me. They can all leave you, but not me. John, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? All of them told him that, yes, we love you, Lord. Maybe they were saying what the Baganda people say in these days. Deceiving the king. Jogwa. Wogwa wendigwa. That where you fall, where if you are killed, where you fall is where I also fall. And I call that a lie. Because I saw some 3-4 years ago when the king was having issues with our president. They ran away.
Yes.
Yes. All the best friends of Christ left him alone. Jesus never complained. Where do you find in the Bible where Jesus says, God, God, why are my friends left me? You'll find nowhere where Jesus says, my God, my God, my God, my Father, this beating is too much for me. Why? Because when all human beings left him, even his best friends, his beloved Father was with him. And that is the best. Let every human being leave you. Your dad, your mom. Tell them bye. So long as God is with me, I'm okay. In Gethsemane, the beginning of his agony, his father was there with him. When he was hung on the cross, his father was there with him. The first 3 hours. It was too much beating. But Jesus never complained about that. He knew that he had come for that. He knew that without that, you and me would be dead forever. He received all the beating with joy. Until when all the sins were put on him and darkness fell on the land. Total silence. No one saying nothing. The father turned his face away for the very first time from eternity past. They've been in communion with the Father, with no separation, not even a second. Can you have such a communion with God? Do you have such a communion with God? Remember, is the most holy God. He does not look at sin. If he could forsake his only begotten Son because our sins had been put on him, try to look at
look at yourself now. Your sins are not on you, they are in you. You don't carry your sin, you are a sinner. You can't have peace with God. That was the greatest agony. Not the beating. Not lack of breathing. But his father departing from him. We go back to our text. He cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And as I said, this man has been misinterpreted all the time. Again, he's misinterpreted here. 35. Some of those who stood by when they heard that, they said, look, he's calling for Elijah. The guy was again misinterpreted. Do you think he was misinterpreted only that day? It never ended there. Up to these days, these words are still being misinterpreted. This is one of the favorite scriptures to the Muslims. They like it. I think any true Muslim should know this scripture. Why? Because they say, you guys deny our Allah. But this Jesus that you call your God and Savior called upon Allah. These words, Eloi, Eloi, these are what the Muslims say, Allah, Allah. But read with them scripture. These guys said he was calling Elijah, as you know, they thought it was Elijah. Because the audience, these were Galileans. Yet the language was Aramaic. Jesus never called Elijah.
Yes, they are here.
Jesus never called Allah. These words, Eloi, Eloi, simply means my God, my God. And some commentators say, that here, Jesus was complaining against the Father. But he was quoting Psalm 22. They say he had despaired. Okugwamu mani. Jesus had despaired totally.
Yes,
that he had lost, trust in the Father. But when you read Psalm 22, that he was from where he was quoting. Towards the end, you find someone trusting in God. He called him my God. Can you call God your God? What do you base on? Jesus Christ was fully man, fully God. As God, he never needed another God. As man, he needed a God. And he is speaking as a man. My God, my God. Carrying our sins. This is just a pause from our series in the Ten Commandments. We are doing the Ten Commandments. I've been always telling you that no man has ever kept not even one single commandment. Taliwo is not there. He has never been there. He is not there. He will never be there except Jesus Christ alone. Do you see the Ten Commandments in the Bible? Never deceive yourself that you've ever kept even one. Why? Because that's the standard of God. He is God, we are men. If you keep even one, then you are also of his level. It's only God who can keep the standard of another God. We can't. He says, if you pass the Ten Commandments, green card to heaven. You go straight, no problem. And an example I always give to people when we are preaching the gospel in the area here. Because people get shocked when I tell them that no human being has ever and will ever pass even one commandment, and I pity my fellow SDAs. I pity my fellow Seventh-day Adventists. They want to keep the Ten Commandments so that they go to heaven. Do they know what they are talking about? The example is Barry Chirabo, who is behind there in the hands of our sister Allen. His father is Brother Sumani here. He tells Chirabo, if you want to inherit all my riches, yes, just pass this test and you'll inherit everything. What's that test? I want you to get 2 jerrycans of 20 liters. Go down the well there, fetch water, bring them to me here. Once you fetch water from the well to here with this 40 liters, goes 20 years, then you inherit all my things. Chirabo is 1 month old. 2. Can he do that? Unless you don't want him to inherit your wealth. But the guy of his might, of his strength, like myself, I can't do that. Yes, I can go there and I bring those brothers' money there here. So that's how impossible. If that Chirabo cannot carry those, it's impossible for us to pass. Jesus Christ passed them all. And here is carrying our sins. And he says, whoever wants to see my Father, come through me. Only through me. Not me plus the Ten Commandments. Not me plus good deeds. Only me. He is crying here because he was abandoned. He was abandoned because of you and me. I don't know. We cannot just figure, we cannot experience, we cannot understand what was going inside Jesus Christ when the Father abandoned him. Now, friends, the whole wrath of God was poured on Jesus Christ, which was supposed to be poured on us. Do you understand what the wrath of God is? Jesus Christ goes through physical agony, and now spiritual agony. The Father wants nothing to deal with Jesus. Because of your sins. The His only begotten Son, who alone knows Him. And He said with His own words, in whom I have pleasure. He abandoned Him for some time because of you. Try to imagine that day. If you are not found in Jesus Christ, how will that be? Try to imagine. Because God, just the way Jesus was not happy to be separated from the love of His Father, the Father was not happy as well. He just had to do it. There have been communion from eternity past. Human beings, we fail to live in harmony. We have failed. Just to prove that we are humans. When I try to, I think about the unity among the Godhead, I say, God, put that love in me. The Father was not happy as well. To put that face away from His begotten Son. Only. He did it with too much pain. That pain will be poured on you and me if we are not found in Him one day. Why have you first forsaken me? Can you answer that question? It's a question. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why? I give the answer. Because of being Issa. Why? Being Issa is causing the separation of these two beloved. It will not be easy for me and you if we are not found in Him. We take Christianity as a routine. Our hymns, we sing them because they sound nice in our ears, not in our hearts. It's okay. Let's continue. He uttered seven statements. This one was placed in between three, in between here. After almost 3 hours of total silence, every creature was silent. Their Creator was going through agony. Could you hear even a bird? Total silence. Jesus, you know, darkness took 3 hours. That means Jesus Christ went, carried the wrath of God for 3 hours. It's too much time. Let God just point His finger on you and you feel a bit of pain on being abandoned by Him. You feel, say, no God, this is too much. Look, remember Job. Three hours of separation? That was too much. Jesus Christ was carrying the sins of all his people in the world. Not each and every. Not each and every. The sins of his people. If you are his, then he carried your sins from that cross. If you are not his, you are carrying your sins. And you will carry them to judgment day. Why have you forsaken me? Check down here. People were mocking him. As our brother read for us this morning. People were mocking him with any types of words. You healed others. Help yourself. Those who could laugh. Those who could do this and that. Verse 37. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Some theologians say this second cry, because it has no words here in Mark, but some theologians say that this could be, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And what I like is, whatever he had to say, he said it loudly. Why? So that everyone could hear. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And check verse 38. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that, he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. These are the people who are laughing, making fun of him. When darkness fell on the land, many people took off. This guy was courageous enough to remain there. Maybe he was fearing that maybe he was commissioned to kill, to guard him, I don't know. He was there. He saw everything. When the guy crowds the second time and breathed his last, this guy went down and worshipped him. This is our great Redeemer. Most precious than your education. Most precious than everything you value. No one here has ever given God his best. He is not here with us. We always give God maybe the 15th offering, everything. No one can be a liar here that you've ever given God your best. Not our best time, not our best anything. When God wanted to offer something for our salvation, He offered his very best. His only begotten Son. His own heart. Gave it out. For us. And many people are comparing this with wealth and health. That if you are not wealthy, you can't be a born again. Friends, let's go back home. is this question in our hearts? You should answer it. Why is God, why did God forsake Jesus Christ? Why did he forsake him? You need to answer that. And when you answer that, you should do something. Fall on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go under those precious feet. Let even one drop of blood fall on you. Just one. You don't need to. Just one. You won't be the same again. We shout with you. Because that drop has never fallen on you. Please give God your time. Give Jesus Christ your family. Just go under those feet. Because they could not die. And yet, that was, they were going towards Sabbath. No dead body was supposed to be hanging on Sabbath. They started breaking their legs. I can't explain what went there. They broke the leg of this guy here. Instead of breaking the legs of this guy, the second who was in between, they jumped to the other guy there and broke the legs. You get the point? Jesus Christ was in between two guys. They would have followed the order, break this, and then break that. But they broke the legs of this. Jumped our Lord when he was still breathing. Broke the legs of this. Well, now they were turning to come and break his legs so that he could also die. And they found the guy gone. So that the scripture could be fulfilled. That not even a single bone of his could be broken. Even when any human being disturbs me on this earth, if I remember these things, I forgive. Even if I want to take revenge, I'm the wretch of sinners. I'm the worst of all sinners. Whoever sins against me has not reached what I've done against others. That's right. We give you glory, Jesus Christ. You really loved us. You gave yourself for us. What we went through, we can't explain. We just try in our own words. We can't explain. It was too much. What pains me is to see whatever you went through, but we are still sinning against you, Lord. We shouldn't. We pay you evil for good. Lord, I wonder how we will be without you on that day of judgment. Help us as we celebrate this Easter season, to remember these words, to try to answer that question, why the Father turned His face away from you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us. We don't deserve, Lord, to be called your servants. We are still sinners. But Lord, you use us. We thank you. Don't let this season pass by us, our children, our parents, our neighbors. Help us, Lord, even this evening when we'll be sharing the same with other people through a movie. Help us, Lord. This we pray through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.